Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. My name is Ben Caspick, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide episodes 3 days a week, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. For now, it's going to go back to being a daily show Monday through Friday at some point when things get back to normal. And on this show, we talk about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. And coming up on today's show, we have a lot to pack into the show. We are going to talk about the new rules as we know them regarding how rosters are to be constructed in the 2020 season, and it's kind of complicated, so there is a lot to talk about with that. And then we're going to talk about this piece in The Athletic by Andy Baggerly, writing about Farhan Zaidi. The question that Baggerly wanted to talk to Zaidi about was the ethics of making roster moves, given that there's a pandemic going on. So it's actually a really interesting conversation that'll segue nicely with the rules about rosters and transactions that we'll talk about first. But unprompted, Farhan Zaidi went off on a Scottsdale City Council member who basically mocked the dying words of George Floyd in an anti-mask rally in Scottsdale. So it's a crazy story. And Farhan Zaidi had some of the strongest language you'll ever see from someone in his position. So it really is news, and we'll talk about it at length in the second half of the show. But first, I do want to talk about the kind of new rules and rosters and transactions and how it all is going to affect the Giants. And so things are going to speed up here a little bit. Today at 9 o'clock Pacific time, rosters were finally unfrozen. And so now the Giants can make free agent signings. They can make trades. They can make roster moves, basically, which is what Farhan Zaidi is known for, among other things. But, you know, they've been linked to Puig. They could sign Puig at any moment if they wanted to. So we'll be following that closely. But there's also a big deadline coming up in just 2 days. On Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern time, teams must submit their 60-man player pool. And you may be asking, what the heck is a player pool? Because we've never heard that term before in baseball. And what it is the collection of players who are going to be eligible to play in the major leagues this season. So the rules are very different. You can't just call up whoever you want. You have to have this player pool. And ultimately, when the season gets going, there's going to be a 30-man major league roster and a 30-man non-major league roster in the player pool. And those other 30 players are going to play at an alternate training site, as it is known. And I believe the Giants have announced that their alternate training site is going to be the Rivercats home stadium in Sacramento. But I also saw that they had mentioned San Jose as a possibility. That facility is nowhere near as nice as the one in Sacramento, but it is closer to San Francisco. So either or, I do expect that to ultimately be in Sacramento. But, you know, Sunday at 4 o'clock Eastern is really close. We're just about 48 hours away from that. And so I don't know if that's going to be something that the Giants release publicly. One thing I do want to mention at this point is that they already announced that Joey Bart, Marco Luciano, Hunter Bishop, and Elliot Ramos are going to be a part of the player pool. And the reason they're doing that is more likely because they want to make sure those guys get reps, competitive reps, because those players in the player pool are going to be training and presumably playing against each other. I don't know if they're playing other alternate training site teams. I don't think so, but the idea is that they want to continue. They don't want those guys just sitting on the couch all summer. They want them playing. They want them training. And so we don't know what the player pool is yet, but those decisions have to be made. So then something that comes up immediately is wondering about non-roster invitees. And the reason this is so significant is because once a player is on your player pool and then they're removed from your player pool, that player can't play for your organization again in 2020. And so that's a very different scenario than the rules we were operating before this, in which we often saw the Giants would designate someone for assignment in hopes of passing them through waivers and bringing them back, getting them off the 40 man and then retaining them and sending them to the minor league. So you basically can't really do that. So there's a quote from one executive who says, players are only likely to opt out if they know there's going to be a better opportunity out there for them. So this is about opt-outs, which I didn't mention, but we don't know exactly which non-roster invitees for the Giants have opt-outs. Some of them may and some of them may not. And this is going to be a big deal because if they opt out, they'll not be able to be brought back. Sometimes they could opt out and then sign back with the team that they opted out on, but that is not possible now. And looking at the list of Giants non-roster invitees, it's a long list of guys who had a legitimate shot of making the opening day roster when we were back in spring training. We've got Jerry Blevins, left-handed pitcher, Trevor Cahill, Tyson Ross, Andrew Triggs, Nick Vincent, Tyler Heineman, Chadwick Tromp, Rob Brantley, Darren Ruff, Yolmer Sanchez, Pablo Sandoval, Billy Hamilton, Joey Rickard, Drew Robinson, just several guys who, you know, their depth is much improved here because these are guys, many of whom have a real chance of making the roster, and they're not even on the 40-man roster at this point in time. But, you know, a lot of those guys may or may not have opt-outs, so something's going to have to give here to either get them onto the 40-man roster or to get them to agree to not opt out for the time being. And maybe just remain on the player pool, but not on the 40-man roster. So another huge piece of information is that, yes, there's going to be a trade deadline and trades are going to happen. And this bleeds into our next topic about Farhan Zaidi and the question Baggerly asked him about the ethics of making trades during a pandemic and moving players around the country and putting them on airplanes and such. But what's really interesting here is that teams will be limited in which players they can deal. Only the 60 players in a team's player pool will be eligible to be traded, which limits the number of minor league players who will be moved this summer. So that's a big deal, because if you want to trade for prospects, they have to be on the 60 player pool. And so that's going to dramatically alter what the Giants may or may not be able to do at the trading deadline. So that's the gist of it for now. There's one other piece about a taxi squad. Teams will be allowed to have, and most will, and I even heard like all will for sure, have a three-player taxi squad on all road trips. And if you're going to have three, one of them has to be a catcher. But these are three players who can be added to the roster immediately in case of an injury or COVID-19 infected player. So anyway, coming up in the second half of the show, I want to talk about what was supposed to be the point of the Baggerly piece, but also the reaction from Farhan Zaidi about these comments from the Scottsdale City Council member. But first, I want to talk about rockauto.com. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use for other important things like the mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Random example, a fuel pump assembly for a 2005 to 2010 Honda Odyssey costs $353.99 at Advance, which is a big chain store, and $216.79 at rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same auto parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us?" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. And now I want to talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is a delicious tasting protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. And most importantly to me, it's great for the health conscious person. Built Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber, exactly what you're looking for. The mint brownie bars have 15 grams of protein, just 110 calories, and 4 grams of sugar. Peanut butter brownie has 20 grams of protein, just 170 calories, and just 3 grams of sugar. I can't understand how they're able to make these bars taste like candy bars with such a low sugar content. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Okay, as promised, here in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about this piece by Andy Baggerly in The Athletic talking about Farhan Zaidi. It turned into a piece about Zaidi denouncing a Scottsdale City Council member, but also there are some other relevant points about roster movements in a pandemic. So Baggerly called Zaidi asking about the ethics of potential player movement, and seemingly unprompted, Zaidi instead wanted to talk about this council member in Scottsdale, Arizona, Guy Phillips, who spoke at an anti-mask rally in Scottsdale on Wednesday. He wore a black mask as he took the microphone, play acted like he was hyperventilating, and said, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe." The last words uttered by George Floyd, whose death in police custody in Minneapolis last month set off national protests before ripping off the mask and rolling his eyes. "Insanity," Phillips said to the small but cheering gathering. That's a direct quote from the piece by Baggerly. So then there's video of it. If you want to see it, you can find it. Guy Phillips in Scottsdale. And keep in mind, the Giants are an institution in Scottsdale. They are a huge part of that community. They've invested a ton of money. We'll get to the details in a second. But for Farhan Zaidi to say what he did is a big deal. So he says, "I mean, F that guy." And he doesn't say F. You can quote me on that. "F that guy. I think anyone would have difficulty getting beyond the abhorrent insensitivity of his statement. But even if you can get beyond that, the fact that this guy is condoning behavior that put our staff and players at risk, like, seriously, F that guy. I can't believe that that guy is a public official in this country. It's unbelievable." So when is the last time you heard someone in the position that Farhan Zaidi is in, the head of a baseball team, essentially, saying such strong language about a politician who probably deserved it? I mean, it was completely out of line, and the whole anti-mask rally is in fact putting people at risk, and Baggerly does a great job of pointing out how the Giants are such a key part of the city of Scottsdale. He says several Giants players remained in Scottsdale after camp shut down on March 13th. The Giants shut down the complex last Friday after an unidentified employee and family member exhibited flu-like symptoms. Both tested negative for COVID-19, as did several players and personnel who used the facility the preceding days. Baggerly goes on to say, "But the incident was a huge scare for the Giants while the industry attempts to restart preparations to play a 60-game schedule. And so it was too much for Zaidi to hear a local city council member try to stir up dissent over mask wearing while prioritizing personal liberty over community responsibility." Baggerly goes on to say, "The Giants wield considerable influence in Scottsdale and help drive the economy in Old Town for several lucrative months every spring. The city is in partnership with the team on a new minor league complex that is under construction at Papago Park on land that the city of Phoenix has leased to Scottsdale. The Giants' brand new $50.6 million major league complex at Scottsdale Stadium includes a public event space that is larger than any other downtown venue and is expected to bring conventions and other events to the area. If the Giants want to leverage the city, they have plenty of weight to throw around. And then another quote from Zaidi. I know we'll have some internal conversations about that. I don't know how you could watch that and not be angry about it. And angry may be too simple a term. As for what resource we have, I wouldn't want to speak to that. But I'm effing pissed about it, and I know I speak for a lot of people when I say that. So that's kind of the end of his justified rant about this Scottsdale city councilman. And I just tip my hat to him for saying that. And I think a lot of Giants fans appreciated these comments as well. Anyway, moving on to what Baggerly intended to be the point of this piece, he points out that Zaidi engineered 19 trades last year, and he claimed 19 players off waivers. They used an NL record 64 players. And is all that kind of movement possible during this type of season where we're in the midst of a pandemic and it's a risk to have guys moving around so frequently, a lot of times having to take commercial flights and then being introduced to new teams and only for a second and then getting on a flight and then being introduced to some other team? It is an ethical question. And Zaidi said, yes, all the safety considerations will reduce the volume of roster moves. But he also said, purely from a baseball standpoint, we feel better about our overall depth going into the season than we did last year. Last year, even in spring training, we talked about the roster most likely being a work in progress and that the team was going to look a lot different in May and June. And as the season progressed, that's what happened. He says, quote, where we are right now, I think we've got a group of players that could get us through the season. I don't think there will be much motivation to look outside the organization because we like our depth. But to answer your question more broadly, that's a totally fair concern. Anytime you make a transaction, it does set logistical wheels in motion. It means somebody is joining your team and somebody else is going to be leaving. Frankly, whether that's acquiring players from outside your organization or even between camps as you option and recall guys, it's a fair concern. I don't think anybody has a definitive answer, but under the circumstances, I think you'll see fewer transactions around baseball. Certainly transactions in which you're bringing in guys from outside the organization. I realize it sounds like a line, but we feel really good about the group of guys we had in camp. We had and continue to have a lot of guys who have a real shot at being a part of our active roster. Even with a 30-man roster, there are guys in the mix who will end up being disappointed. I just think we're in a better spot. So I don't think we'll be in a position to be looking for those opportunities as much, those frequent roster movement opportunities as much. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. I think we're going to have a lot more news next week. The deadline to set the player pools is on Sunday. So we'll be talking about that on Tuesday, potentially any free agent signings that could happen or trades. It's all possible now after a long roster freeze. So to get this show 3 days a week, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Giants. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On MLB. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.